B-Pod Studios.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Mads.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, so Rob Gronkowski's promised an announcement tomorrow at 9 a.m. I'm not online, so I don't... What's been going on today, Murray? Anything further? The one thing I did see is him with some sort of picture. Did he send it to Brady? Was it attached to Brady or what? Liked by Brady? I don't even know. Something...
I don't know. This part I don't know. All I know about was the video that he put out that he's going to have the stupid announcement tomorrow morning at 9 a.m.
I thought there was a picture of him spiking and he says, does this thing still work? To Brady or Brady was on the thing or... I don't know. I'm not going online to figure it out.
I don't know.
It's up to you kids. And Murray's so banged up from the weekend, he can't even be bothered.
I'm trying to look. I don't know what you're talking about.
Where did I see this then?
I don't know.
I see it on a traditional website that links to it. Okay? Or puts up screen grabs of it.
I've now searched Gronk Spike, Gronk Brady.
Okay, stop searching. Go to a website. And I don't think
Murray's brain's working today. Not that there's a problem with that.
No, it's
not. Website.com.
No, but I'm the problem too because I whatever. The whole thing bugs me. Gronk bugs me. He bugs the crap out of me. You know, maybe I take sports too seriously. Or we take sports too seriously, but we do. This stuff's important to us. The team's important to a lot of people, right? It just is. And am I gonna play? Am I not gonna play? Tune in tomorrow. Let's see. Am I gonna do it? Am I not gonna do it? And now it's the end of November, and the offense. I don't know, guys. Am I gonna play? Am I not gonna play? What am I gonna do? Tune in tomorrow. Like, doesn't that bug the crap out of you?
Yeah, look, I told you he bugged me a year ago, maybe two. Crying out loud, I thought his act was wearing so thin.
Are you serious about your job or not? Are you serious about coming back or not?
He's done. He's done. He's playing it. This whole thing is some sort of...
So the announcement tomorrow is for some sort of thing he's going to sell me.
Yep.
Which is...
It's totally going to be something.
Dick move.
Gronk Cruz.
I mean, if this were about him coming back, don't you think the Patriots have something to say about it?
And even if he does come back, even if he pays off and says, I'm coming back, I still say, dick move. Like, this is how you do it? You're just screwing around. Yeah, you're just screwing around.
He's not coming back. He's not coming back. He's selling some sort of whatever. Who knows whether it's CBD oil or ice shaker or whatever about the stupid thing he's involved in. I have no idea. You know, crash leads. I have no clue what the hell it is. All I'm telling you, it's not the Patriots.
Okay, now I found the thing that you were looking for. So Gronk retweeted an old Tom Brady Instagram thing. Said it's Brady holding a conch shell
saying, New England
Patriots receivers, assemble, which is from Anchorman. And he retweeted that or put it on another Instagram and said, Tom Brady, do you think this thing still works?
Got
with
it.
The emoji of the shell.
That's what it was.
Right. Oh, that's annoying. I didn't know that this was out there.
Yeah, I read
so,
about that.
So this is... In a conch shell, like all my receivers come unite. He did this a couple of years ago. Brady did. Right. Yeah. One of his fricata internet posts that just get published like over and over. Because, oh, my God, you see what Brady put online? And, receivers unite. And so that's what Gronkowski's. He retweets that and says, does this thing still work?
Yeah,
that's
annoying. Like that Vikings horn.
Right. So clearly implying, oh, you're getting us all back together. Does that thing work? We're coming back. I'm coming back. If you don't, dink move.
Okay, do you think he's coming back?
And even if he does, dink move.
Do you think he's coming back?
I'm horrible predicting the future. No, I don't.
I'm asking your opinion. I don't. No, he's
no,
not.
No
if, he,
shot.
If he were coming back, you think Belichick would sign off on this? Belichick would see this and go, you're pulling this, you're not coming back. There's no way he's coming back.
Bill doesn't have control.
Yeah, it's
control still... resides with the owner and the quarterback.
He's not coming back.
If Gronkowski wanted to come back and do it in this ridiculous fashion, my opinion, Bill's powerless to stop it.
Yeah, I think the guy's been jerking around the team for months, years, for crying out loud. Again, remember, the coach wanted to trade his ass 2 years ago.
I don't know, guys. Should I do it? Am I going to play? Am I not going to play? For months and months. I find it ridiculous. Brian and Haverhill, your thoughts.
He's so sorry to do this to you guys. And also, I hate to sound like a kid, but what happens if we're all looking at it wrong and Gronk comes back as a wide receiver and not a tight end? Hang up and let's do what you have
okay,
to say.
Okay, so he comes back as a receiver, not a tight end. I still feel annoyed by the whole thing. I don't care if he holds on kicks. I'm annoyed by the whole thing.
Yeah, he's playing you, and I'm talking to the listeners now. He's playing you, and you're falling for it. He's not coming back. The thing you should really be pissed about is that back in the spring, he yanked him around, and they could have had Jared Cook in this offense, and they don't even have him now because Gronk decided to give him the big yank, for crying out loud. He porked him from the beginning on this.
Murray, you've been adamant about him not coming back and playing. Do you still believe that with every fiber of your being?
Yeah. I mean, maybe next year, but in 2019, he is absolutely positively not coming back.
So this is all bull crap.
It's all crap. It's to sell another Grunt Cruise or CBD or God knows what, a game show he's going to be on. He's done this year. He ain't coming back. It's about a marketing ploy. And I find it more annoying by the day. That thing, that post from the other day, like 9 a.m. Tuesday morning, F off. I'm not tuning in, and no one else should either.
Oh, he's tooling on people now. That's what he's doing. You're getting tooled.
Tom and Quincy, your thoughts?
Oh, I'm so disgusted by his behavior. I'm with Tony. He's been screwing the team for a year, you know? And just like Tony just said about the Jared Cook thing, okay? I couldn't care less about his business ventures. I don't care. You want to come back and play? Fantastic. Otherwise, dude, shut up. Go away. Because now you're just annoying the hell out of me. Like the other night, I saw someone posted this stupid friggin' thing he was on with that fat British dude on one of his talk shows, grab assing for 10 minutes. It was embarrassing. He's become like a cartoon, you know? He's making himself look stupid.
Okay, so I just think, Tom, thanks for the call. The keeping you on the hook and using the, am I going to play? I might be coming back to play, guys, is just... It's not a high crime against humanity. Like, I don't want, but we're in the sports world. This is what we do. It's important to us. So I'm putting it in context. Like, he's not juggling cats or, I mean, you know what I mean? Like, he's not stealing babies. But still, it's freaking rude, dude. It's obnoxious, and it's just dinking around with people.
Yeah, I'll tell you, the more I think about it, though, that whole thing, that press conference he did with the CBD, I thought that was genuine. Him talking about the head trauma and what I interpreted as severe bout of depression and that, you know, he was losing his joy for sort of life. Now you're going to come back?
It's such a good point. And then turn around the next day and say, oh, but I might.
Like, you're going to sit there.
Does this thing still work, Tommy?
So you're going to sit there and sell me that, which I bought, by the way, that he was really sort of banged up and messed up from football. And then you're going to come back and I'm supposed to feel bad for you?
Good point.
Like, I feel like that would be mocking those with head trauma. Like, that to me
minimizing
is...
Minimizing the importance of...
Right, exactly. It's making a spoof of the thing. It turns into a parody. So I look at that, which is why I believe he's not coming back. I don't have it in my heart to believe after watching that, or in my head, frankly, after watching that thing, to think that whole thing was an act. But this clown show, this stoogery, that's what it is. He's just trying to sell people some of the bull crap.
And I'm also just not into this precedent of, I mean, I hate Brady missing the spring camps, right? Like, I don't think you should be able to play at a high level or last year, like, you can't blow off the whole spring and still be the same guy and still win at the same levels. I was wrong, and that pisses me off because I want to believe that all the, you know, there's no shortcuts. It's one of Belichick's main tenets. There's no shortcuts. You can't skip. You can't miss and then expect to be the same guy at the end of the year that you would be if you've gone through the entire process. So I'm a big believer in that. I want to be, which is what pisses me off about the Brady offseason thing and them still winning. But this takes it to the whole nother level. This is like a whole nother. This would be just fart around as much as you want and then show up in November and then all of a sudden, like, you're in. And if he performed at a high level, I'd be like, well, then the entire Belichick thing, the whole foundation of Belichick's thing is complete and utter bullcrap now, isn't it? And I don't want to believe that.
Yeah, you know, the more I think about it, and look, again, this thing has evolved over time, okay? Because Belichick made an effort to go out and get receivers in the spring. But the more I think about it, between Gronk and Brady aging and everything else, Belichick looked at it and said, I got to cover my ass here. I got to cover my ass for people like Gronk and for like Tom, who's not coming to the offseason workouts anymore. We might not be as good on offense as we've been in the past. So I think Bill just said, I'm going to control it the way I can control it, which is to give us defense and special teams. I'm going to draft a punter. I'm going to bring back the guys on defense, and I'm going to give them the money. And then however everybody else acts, they act.
If Gronk wants back, he's back, no matter how Bill feels
okay,
about it.
But you understand that. But the point is that Bill's not going to be at the mercy of it, Mike. He's not going to sit there and say, well, now I'm hamstrung. Is he or isn't he? Nope. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to build it so that I'm insulated from it. If he comes back and the owner rules that he comes back, great. Terrific. If the quarterback wants to show up at offseason workouts, great. Terrific. In the meantime, I'm building myself a defense and I'm getting a punter and we're going to win field position games if none of this works out. That's what I think Belichick did.
Johnny New Bedford, thoughts?
I think the big announcement will be, actually, I think the announcement is going to be that he's going to be coming back to the Patriots. And the funny thing is, you guys think it's a joke. You guys keep laughing. You and Matt's like, what is he doing? You know, he's coming back. We know he's coming back because the offense needs him. They need him. They need him. And you and Matt know. And none of them will need Gronkowski to get.
Your phone went to hell.
Don't swallow the phone, guy. It's okay.
Tell you what,
he's calling back. You know he's calling back.
Call back tomorrow, same time. Let me know if he's back.
And if he's back, he's back. But the dinking around in the meantime, it's hard to take it seriously. You know, do you want to play ball or not? Are you serious about yourself and your profession and what you're doing or not? Because it doesn't feel very serious to me. But if you're coming back, you know, we'll see. How about Paul in South Carolina? Your thoughts on it? Paul.
Hey, guys. What's up?
Just you. Go ahead. Okay. Too slow. Real quick. Chris and Natick, your thoughts. Christopher?
Yes. Tonight, Rahr is on in Boston. Gronk is going to be there tonight, and he's going to show up tomorrow morning and announce that he's WWE. What do you think?
Oh,
it's a good idea.
Okay, Chris, thank you for the call. Raw at the Garden tonight, Jimmy.
I don't think Gronk will be there, but it's not a terrible idea. He's under Fox contract, and Raw is on USA. But
oh, what does Fox have now, Jimmy?
They have Friday Night SmackDown,
but it's the same. It's still the same company.
It's
right?
WWE, but they're two separate, or they try to make it two separate brands.
Yeah, I get it.
I think it's connected. I like that theory as much as any. I put it this way. I like that theory a hell of a lot more than the one of him coming back to play for the Patriots. I'll tell you, that's a far more credible scenario than Gronk coming back and all of a sudden catching passes from Brady in the last 6 weeks. I'm not holding my breath on that. I can't believe people are still taking the cheese on that.
And Gronk was on WWE programming a few weeks ago on an FS1 show as well.
So it goes back, people wanting this, it goes back to what I said a few weeks ago. He's not coming back. You clamoring for it just means you don't trust the offense. You don't think they're good enough to win the Super Bowl. That's why you want him back so badly. So just admit it. That's why you want Gronk back. But they are good enough. They can win games 13-10 like they did yesterday. Like they won in the Super Bowl against the Rams last year. They can win on defense. But no, you don't think the offense is good enough. You need more weapons for Brady. So Gronk, please come back. Please, 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 please come back. Please come back. No, he's not coming back.
It's also worth mentioning that Gronk is still working out at TB12.
That means nothing. I'm not buying
it. It means more than you think, Jim.
He ain't coming back.
Jimmy, you think he's coming back?
I still think Thanksgiving is when Gronk will come back.
Well, November 30th is the deadline.
So this is the time.
So he's still got another whatever this is. 12.
November 30th is the date he needs to declare.
I think I just exactly said that. November 30th.
When producers aren't listening.
November 30th is the deadline.
I'm emphasizing your point.
So he's got 12 more days to yank your scrotum back and forth. Okay? 12 more days of scrotum yanking from Gronkowski. You looking forward to it?
Yes.
I think he's hanging from it right now.
Back to your calls after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Sports. Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Wentz takes the snap. Short drop. Fires over the middle. Catch by Goddard. He plucks it into the end zone. Ball whipped away after he crossed the play. Jonathan Jones has it for the Patriots, but to break the claim with possession. Jones took
that
it away.
That will be signal. Yes.
The officials now signaling touchback. An interception. However, an official has gone to the referee, Bill Vinovich. And all replay. All turnovers and scores go to replay.
Ruling on the field
is before the receiver completed the process of the catch, the ball was taken away.
Interception with a tremendous play by Jonathan Jones. Should it stand? Yeah,
New York will try to fix it.
What a terrific play by Jones. Goddard made the catch. Stretching out.
Go ahead, Riveron. Overturn this, Riveron.
Across the goal line, the ball eventually comes out.
You don't know what it's going to be called because this crew has been absolutely atrocious again. The Zebras, again, affecting games and outcomes. Their in-game operation is atrocious.
The receiver has possession of the ball.
It does.
Oh boy, NFL, just keep overturning them because they don't know what the heck they're doing down there. I mean, but you ask me to the right of the play, that's the right call.
It's a good call. Yeah.
But you've been told, hey, now all of a sudden the catch is now you need to make a move with 2 feet, have possession, and then it comes down that he had possession as he's getting turned over. I don't know what a catch anymore. I'd just defer to that.
I think Zolak's a pretty objective guy when it comes to the Patriots. When they're not playing well, he'll call them out. When it comes to the officiating, oh, God. He's as bad as Heinsohn, Jack Edwards, you name it. Like, you can't even tell what's going on there. He said he agreed with the call, right?
Yes, he did.
He said they got the call right?
He did, yes.
You know, the carrying on? What's he carrying on about?
So, again, he pulled a 180 there, because initially he says, oh, the league's going to screw him, then comes back and says, oh, yeah, it's the right call. But you'd never, again.
So did the league screw him on that play?
No. The league did not screw the Patriots at all.
This leads to Maz's Rodenheiser take.
Yep. Hot takes brought to you by Rodenheiser Home Services. Heating specials now available. Go to Rodenheiser.com to learn more. They got this right. What are people bitching about? Including Belichick, by the way. To sit there and say, as far as I'm concerned, we allowed 3 points. We intercepted, but they overturned it. They overturned it because it was a touchdown. That's why. So, like, again, this is the one part of Belichick's postgame yesterday I sort of listened to and go, oh, that's petty. Like, really? There was a touchdown. It was close, but it was a touchdown. Good play by Jones. He got in there and, you know, got his hands in and ripped the ball away, albeit after the completion and after the touchdown. They got it right. Philly scored. They had to work for that touchdown, but they scored. Again, 16 plays, 95 yards. It was a hell of a drive, and the Patriots nearly thwarted it. They nearly did. But, come on. Are we really going to bitch? Like, we're going to bitch about even a touchdown when they give up 10 points?
I thought it was closer to an interception than most people. I thought they could have let it stand. They called the interception on the field. And I think there was a case to be made to let the call stand. I did. You know, but, you know, Romo and Sterator on the TV field are immediately like, no. Catch. Clear. It's obvious it's a catch. Even Zoe came out. Obvious it's a catch. I thought it was a little closer to being an interception than most people.
I just didn't think Jones got control of the ball, really, until after how do you pronounce his name?
Goddard.
Until Goddard's ass hit the ground. Then he got full control of the ball. So to me, at that point, it was already a touchdown. So again, I had it gone the other way, meaning had it been the Patriots on offense, I'd say the same thing. It was a touchdown.
No, but the league's out to get you. That's just... Fall back on that one. All right, to your calls as promised on everything from the day, including Brady's attitude. James in Nashua, how do you feel about it?
Hi, yeah. So we all know how Kraft back in the day overruled Bill, right, about trading Brady. Well, you think now Bill is trying to show Kraft that he doesn't really need Brady and that he could win in other ways without him? And that's why Brady's upset, because Bill is winning more with defense than a dominant offense like in years past?
Maybe.
And that's why... I mean, that's why Brady changed his contract, so that Bill, you know, doesn't have control if, say, this year he wins without him, that Brady can go wherever he wants instead of, letting Bill...
Yeah, James, I'm going to let you go. Something like that.
You want this sensational Palace Q storyline?
Yes, of course, Maz. Give it to me.
Okay, fine. Brady wins the battle with the owner. Brady stays. Bill loses, and Bill says, all right, so fine, you're my quarterback. Doesn't mean I have to build it around you, though. I mean, you can be here... And I can build it the way I want, and then you have to do what I tell you to do because I'm still the boss.
I just don't think it holds water. Because in the last 2 years, the last three first-round picks have been offense. Left tackle, running back, wide receiver. They went out and spent through the nose and did something that's very rare for them. Gave up a bad contract to just about the biggest asshat in professional sports in Antonio Brown. They... When they lost on Antonio Brown, overpaid to go get Mohamed Sanu. Okay? They tried and they went after about three different slot receivers for Brady. Beasley, Humphreys, okay? So they tried, they just failed in their personnel moves. They didn't ignore surrounding Brady, they just failed in it. And this is what they're left with. I don't think it was by design.
Okay, so let's go back and let's treat them one by one. To Isaiah Wynn and Sony Michel. Why does Sony Michel relate to Brady?
It doesn't have to, but last three picks have been on offense.
Okay, and then Harry was picked after they missed out on the free agent guys. And why are we assuming that Harry's for Brady? How do we know that Harry's not for the next guy?
He's helping him now, or ostensibly.
Okay, but I told you
I'm giving
you the sensational storyline. Yeah. Okay, I'm giving you the sensational storyline. The Bill looked at it and said, "I'll get Tom a play." And then once the year started, he realized that Harry was hurt. All the guys he brought in didn't pan out. They traded away. You know, they brought in Brown and said, "All right, I need a receiver. I got to get somebody here."
Yeah,
so
I just took
a shot.
I mean, this is what we've ended up with, but I don't think it's that intentional. I mean, you can't say he's ignoring Brady and purposely leaving him high and dry to prove he can win on defense when the last three first round picks have been on offense, and the biggest offseason move they made was for a receiver. I mean, I think that's an impossible claim to make. It's worked out that way. And I think Bill's more than happy to be winning on defense. I think he's giddy about it. But don't tell me he didn't try on offense. He did.
I'm not saying he left him high and dry. I'm just telling you that, again, I think it's somewhere in the middle. What I think Bill did was he covered his ass. He safeguarded himself for if and when the quarterback's play started to decline. And I'm not even telling you that that's happening here. I'm just telling you that the offense has suffered this year. I don't necessarily think it's Brady's fault.
Well, whatever. It's netted out to being the best team in the league, and Brady's not happy. So you tell me. Dan and Quincy, you tell me.
Well, I wanted to get to Edelman, but is everybody calling in that is upset with Brady about his attitude? Were they born after the Billy Cundiff game? Because he was more angry about that. They went to the Super Bowl after that win. You still there?
Yeah, but Danny, in that game, he blamed himself. Do you remember he said that I sucked? Do you remember he said that?
Yeah, he did. So I don't think this is out of character for him, and I don't think it's related to his statistics and contract. I believe. And I think he's right that he believes that the team as currently constituted, the offense is not good enough to win a Super Bowl. They're not doing their part. I think that's the context in which he is mad. And you know something? Other than the Georgie Costanza puffy coat that he had on yesterday, I agree with him. I agree with him 100%. He should be mad after that. We all should be mad just because they won. They were a loss away from being the 2 seed yesterday. Baltimore won. So I'm with him, and you know I have no problem ripping Brady, right?
Yep.
Okay, so I'm with him on this one. But on the Edelman thing, man, he dropped a touchdown pass. Okay, now it might have had something to do. He got a stinger earlier in the game, and I'm worried about him, man. I'm surprised they didn't put him through a concussion protocol after that. He was hurt, and I'm surprised.
Well,
I listened to the games on the radio, and I didn't hear Zolak comment on that at all, and they had the camera panned on him, and he was hurt.
Yeah, shoulder, I thought, though. He was yanking shoulder pads, right?
Well, that's what you're saying, stinger.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Yeah, so, he got popped up there, and it affected his hands.
Look, I think the drops have piled up on Edelman. I think he's a cumulative effect from all the hits that he's taken.
It was always kind of a sneaky issue that he had, but it's gotten worse. And I'll tell you, with each passing week, he's getting up slower and slower. He's taking a beating this year.
And he's taking a cumulative beating over his 10-year NFL career.
No question.
And that's what it is.
No question.
Has he taken a bigger beating this year than other year? It's the standard sort of load that he gets. He gets, those little slot guys get the snot kicked out of him.
Yeah, but rib thing has been nagging since pretty much the beginning of the season.
But I think he's one of the most targeted receivers in the league this year, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he's in the top three.
Yep.
I'll double check it. But, you know, he's seeing a lot of targets, and it's not even Thanksgiving yet.
Let's grab an update here from Murray, and we're back with more reactions from yesterday's win over the Eagles, reactions to having the best record in football, reactions to being the Super Bowl favorite again with the best coach in the league, and for some reason your quarterback being pissed about all of that right after the update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Oh, I like this.
This is Felger Nash.
What? part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
95 Sports Hub. Sports Hub. Sports Hub. Sports
Hub. Throws a deep ball down the left side for Scott, and the pass is incomplete with Jason McCourty in coverage, and a pair of flags come down as he and Scott were both hand-fighting, it appeared. It'll be a pass interference call on New England, for the pass well overthrown.
McCourty runs on the field late. They take Jones off. I mean, I don't know what to tell you anymore about pass interference.
One foul.
Bill Vinovich, the referee, with the call.
You and I watched some football today. I don't know if you saw the Hopkins play in Baltimore with Houston. Nothing called, and he got mugged. It's just a basic crapshoot at this point.
Well, in that case, too, it looked like Scott running downfield had initiated the contact.
Thank you.
Trying to create some separation, turning back toward the ball.
Trying to be the better man here.
No shots, though. I didn't like that call either, though, by the way. First play of the game, 59-yard penalty, whatever that was. It's just, I hate that.
Yeah, I didn't like that either. I thought the Patriots, I don't want to say jobbed is too strong. I thought it was a little ticky-tack.
No question. I mean, come on. First play of the game, just chuck it up there. I hate that. So I didn't like that call against the Patriots either. But Zoe mentioned the play in the Texans-Ravens game. You know what play he's talking about?
Yeah, it happened early in the game. It was 0-0, 4-2, pass to DeAndre Hopkins in the end zone. And he got mauled before the ball got there. I mean, he basically got tackled. It was that 44 who plays linebacker for the Ravens.
And did they challenge it?
They didn't. It didn't get overturned. And it was pretty blatant.
So there was one overturn yesterday that I did see. Richard Sherman tackled the Cardinals receiver on a deep ball, and it wasn't flagged on the field, and they threw one after the challenge. And so, I just had a call on the board that was sitting there for 45 minutes to talk about that Hopkins play, and he just dropped off. But anyway, I that's why I hate that pass interference rule.
Did you see the Hopkins play?
I did not.
Oh, okay. I mean, it was PI. There was no gray area. Murray, did you see it? No?
No.
So, it was a 4th-and-2 play, and at the time, 0-0. They had the ball at like the 32-yard line, somewhere around there. It had been about a 50-yard kick. And I might be getting that a little wrong, but somewhere in that area, between the 30 and the 35. He threw it to Hopkins in the side of the end zone, and he got mauled before the ball got there. And they challenged and didn't get it. The ball went over to the Ravens, and then the next thing you know, the Ravens are up 20 to zip or whatever the hell it was, and that was that.
So I don't know. I'm looking at it now. I mean, I've seen worse.
Watch the replay.
I am.
So you're saying, Maz, that replay hasn't corrected an obvious wrong?
Correct.
Interesting. Funny how that happens with replay. Who could have ever thought of that? Back to your phones, as promised. Bill in Vermont. Go ahead, Bill.
Hey, guys. So I'm going to say what I'm going to say, and then I'll let you guys go. But in my opinion, don't you think the reason Brady's a little pissy is because he's been chasing the touchdown record that Peyton Manning has? And in competition with Breeze went out. He thought he was going to have an easy road. And with the problems with wide receivers, Antonio Brown, the O-line, that he's kind of seeing it going bye-bye.
So,
all right, thanks.
Yeah, I hope that's not it.
I hope it's not about those.
I mean, talk about
ridiculous
a selfish
numbers.
Reason or some stupid record.
I don't think it has anything to do with it. I mean, of all the things you would throw out there, I told you, I think Brady's ego is a factor in this thing. I don't think the touchdown record has anything to do with it.
Okay, I would hope not.
No, I don't, because, again, so even if...
Where does it stand even, by the way?
Okay, so Manning's at 539, Brady's at 531, Breeze is now at 528. Okay, so even if Brady passed it, let's say he passed Manning first.
And how long is it going to stand?
Exactly! Breeze is 2 years younger. Breeze can end up playing longer than Brady.
We did this on the show recently. Nobody knows who holds these records.
No one cares. So I just asked you, again, that should be a marquee stat. Who owns the record and what's the number? No one knows.
Yeah, I don't think that has anything to do with it. What I think it has to do with is Brady's role in the winning. Brady's role in the winning now is smaller than it has been in a long time.
Yeah, he looks like a game manager on a defense-dominant team.
That's what he's pissed about.
Thus
in part,
the lining.
In part, that's what he's pissed about. If they were losing, he'd be out of his mind, for crying out loud. So look, I still think on the whole, Brady's a team guy overall. But you don't get to be the greatest quarterback in the history of the game without some kind of ego. He's got some. So over the years, this thing has become more and more about the quarterback.
Well, I am.
Now it's gone the other way.
I'm just stunned that it's still happening. And you're past the bye. You're in the home stretch of the season, and he's still carrying on like that. I thought it would just be a little pity party to start the year, and he'd get over it like he always does. I'm stunned. Stunned.
So that part of it is a good point. Coming out of the bye, I thought it would be different.
Like, I mean, you don't know by this point you're a defense-first team and you're going to win rock fights and your offense is limited. It just happens sometimes. A lot of times, I'd say most every time, that their teams are almost never perfectly balanced. Sometimes the offense carries you. Sometimes the defense carries you. It's rarely a strong combination of both. You're usually one or the other. So the Patriots have evolved into being a defensive-first team over the last, call it, year and a half. And the quarterback's not accepting of it? Like, that surprises me that it's taken that long.
He's in denial about it a little bit.
Warren in Nebraska. Go ahead, Warren.
Maybe a lot.
Well, the thing about that is I think Brady's losing the most important thing with his ego is his ability to lead his offense. He's been great in the past, but I think his bad attitude is getting there on this. And Bill Belichick's not covering his ass. He knew that was going to happen. And I'm among the camp I was with Bill We Trust. I wanted to get rid of him 2 years ago. I'm surprised. Not stunned, but I am stunned that there are people out there that haven't thought about this happening. It was going to happen. We should have got rid of him. Maz is polishing his helmet. Thank God for what Jimmy's doing.
Okay, but Warren, and we're not going to, we're talking about Maz's Jimmy Garoppolo helmet is what we're talking about.
I hope.
I'm not saying get rid of the guy.
No, I'm not either.
And I'm not acting like he's hurting you. I mean, no. I'm just reacting to how he's carrying himself. But I don't even know if it's really having a big impact on the team. I mean, he gives Jacoby Myers the stink eye when he, you know, goes inside on the fade. But if Jacoby Myers gets open the next game and the play's there, Brady's going to throw to him. I don't think it's going to have any tangible impact on the field. So then you say, Felger, well, why are you talking about it? Well, because it's just at the most high-profile, important player in the history of sports, you know, that we're following on a daily basis. So everything gets talked about with Brady. But I don't think for his piss-poor attitude, which he has, and it surprises me, is it going to affect the team?
Well, okay, so again,
like on the field, I'm not sure.
So I
don't think so.
It probably won't affect Brady's decision making. It probably won't.
He did throw like 10 guys yesterday.
Okay, but I'm not 100% convinced of that because there might be some key spots where he locks in on one guy where he didn't in the past. But I'll tell you what, I'll give you that one. What about the confidence level of Jacoby Myers or Sony Michel even in the passing game?
Yeah, so this part, I think
that's fair.
It affects these guys' confidence, and maybe that's why, you know, it looks like they have stone hands or Myers is too much in his own head and he's running the wrong route because he doesn't want to disappoint the boss, you know, because he knows if he screws up again, he's probably not going to see another ball thrown his way.
Just, it's hard to make a play when you're afraid. It's hard to make a play when you're afraid.
I mean, didn't Myers basically admit to this, like, at preseason?
Yes, I better catch this one or else I won't get another one.
Yeah, he and Gunnar Olszewski, the two of them. So, like, I think there's something to that. That the quarterback, I mean, there's such a, you know, there's such a gap there. And Gasper comes in on Fridays and talks about the difference in the playbook. You know, Brady is accelerated to 20 years in the playbook where these guys are in year one. There's a huge gap there. True. But the gap in confidence is equal. And I think Brady neglects to realize that every time he starts pulling a Marino and rolling his eyes and, you know, tossing his head back and turning his back on the guy, that the kid's going to sit there and go, well, okay, sorry. You know, how do you think the kid's going to react? Like, so I think it does have a negative effect on the younger guys. I do.
We continue with your thoughts, including perhaps the player of game yesterday, right after this.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Ebner communicates as the personal protector.
Good stuff up front.
Cardona snaps it back, head high. Bailey right-footed punt. Launches a liner down the middle. Scott will now back away. It's going to bounce from the 20 and hop to the 15. And Slater is backpedaling as the ball rolls to the 12. A mistake perhaps by Boston Scott. backed away from the punt by Jake Bailey. Beautifully done by the Patriots.
You got to feel that. You gave up another 8 yards and allowed 5 more seconds to tick off that clock.
He's a great kid. He works hard. He's really played well for us the entire season. He's been, it's been so valuable to this team. And, he proved it out there today. I wish he could have recovered that fumble, but, he's been great for us.
So that's Belichick on Jake Bailey. Ben Volen in the Globe says the player of the game might have been Bailey. Punted 8 times for a 47.6-yard average. He pinned the Eagles inside the 26 times. And of those, I think there were several of those were inside the 10.
Yeah, they were. There were some good kicks in there. And then the net, that was, you said the average 47.6. The net was like, what, 45 or something?
46.
Yeah, it was absurd. Right. That's absurdly high.
Because he's like that, the hang time. You don't get returns on the guy.
Yeah, that's an absurdly high net average.
Never mind the dingbats that let the ball hit the ground all the time. Aren't you stunned when you watch football at all levels? The amount of times the return men let the ball hit the ground?
Yes.
Go put your arm up and catch it.
Totally. Yeah, totally. Again, I think that guy sucks. What was his name? Boston Scott?
Scott, yeah.
Is that his name?
I think so, yeah.
Seriously, he sucks. Boy, does he blow. On that kick again where he came up and then,
I'm surprised it's not a caller.
Oh, my God, does he suck. That guy's terrible. So, again, this is where they missed Howard. Okay, they missed Howard. This kid got into the game because normally Sanders would be, I think Sanders also returns kicks. So Sanders would have been the kick returner and third down guy, and Howard would have been in the game, and the roles flip-flopped. That said, I thought Peterson did a crap job of getting Sanders involved in that game because Sanders is most dangerous as a pass catcher, and they didn't throw to him enough. I'd have been thrown to him all game like they do to James White on this side.
But this Bailey kid, oh, my God.
Oh, yeah, Bill all but took his clothes off after the game talking about him. Did you see that answer? He went on and on. Yeah. We only played a little of it.
Yeah, correct.
Holy crap, he went on and on and on. He's a smart kid and this and that, and he works at it. And boy, he's a weapon, and he's really been good for us. He's been dynamite for us all year. Blah, 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 blah. Like, let me grease myself up with some Crisco for the punter.
But it was that type of game that you were actually paying attention to the punter. So much so, one of the guys I went with never goes to games. I was pointing them out. I'm like, watch this kid. He's good. The punter.
The punter. So he had a in the second quarter, I believe, he pinned him at the 5. So here are where the last 6 Jake Bailey punts wound up in the second half. Ready? Philly, 19, Philly 3, Philly 20, Philly 12, Philly 6, Philly 12. Just pinning them deep the whole time.
Yeah, the one on the 20, I think, was a crap kick, though.
Yeah, that's there was one bad punt in there. That's right.
That's the one he kicked sideways.
Yes, it was a 19-yard net, right.
And he's had a few wobbly, shanked ones so far this year. But overall, he's a weapon.
Even factor that in. He averaged 47.6, and the net was 46 and had that crap kick, which means the numbers are really higher.
This is one of the reasons I like preseason. I would not have given the guy a time, the effing punter you can do on your own time. Except I watched preseason football, and in August, this guy, you looked at this guy and you said, where the hell did they find this one?
Yeah.
This guy's unbelievable.
He's got to work on his kickoffs a little. Those are a little inconsistent, it feels like to me. Some are shorter than they should be. But whatever. As a punter, force. Force.
Let me just, just finish off my list.
When Bill watches the film of the punter this week, everyone should leave him alone in the room by himself. Seriously, I don't want to know what he's doing in there.
I told you about the PI on the first play. There's just two more little small plays that I just noted and I just wanted to mention. Get through my list. I thought, speaking of punt returns, I thought Sanu had a really good punt return on the second field goal drive for the Patriots. I don't know what the yardage was exactly, but I like him as a punt returner. I think he feels really solid back there. Like, he doesn't let the ball hit the ground. I feel like he's not on, I don't feel like he's on the verge of muffing the thing or kicking the thing out of bounds. I feel like he's just solid. He's certainly no burner, so I also think he's going to take it back to the house, but I could care less about that. The number one thing for me in my punt return game is catch it. Catch it. The amount of punt teams that allow the ball to hit the ground and roll around on the ground and let a crappy punter get 10 extra, 15 extra yards because they can't come up and field the punt drives me bananas. If it's a windy day or it's a tough day, you put 2 guys back there. Catch the punt. Catch catch the punt.
Yeah, it was a 14-yard return, the one you were talking about, that led to the second field goal.
It was just a nice sort of middle return. Like, you know, we made a few guys miss and gained some yards. I'm very simple with my punt returns. I don't need Dante Hall or, you know, some sort of burner, some sort of highlight reel thing. I need you to catch the ball. And I don't care if you fair catch it six times a game. If it never hits the ground, you've done your job. The best I ever saw at this was Troy Brown. Like, you just, the ball should not hit the ground. And you just see it too many times. Unless it's over your head, you think it's going to go in the end zone. And then you have to judge it. You have to use judgment. But the amount of guys that are just afraid or lazy or not heady enough to go up and catch a ball that's going to be short, it drives me nuts. Oh. And then there was just one more really little play, hidden defensive play. Did you see Adam Butler, deflect a late Carson Wentz pass? It was on a crosser. It was on the Eagles' last real drive that ended in the Aguilar incompletion in the end zone. But Wentz had a crosser. I think it was Ertz. I'm not sure exactly who it was. And Adam Butler sort of came off the line a little bit and dropped back just a little bit and deflected this ball that probably saved like a 20-yard gain. Huge play.
Yeah, Romo noted it during the telecast.
Did he?
Yeah. So he did. He got a hand on it.
So I thought that was just a big play that I wrote down that I felt like mentioning it. But while I'm here, how do you feel about Carson Wentz?
To me, I'm disappointed. He's going the other way a little bit. I'm not telling you he sucks, because there were moments. He doesn't put enough air under the ball, first of all. That's number one. Some of those windows are tight. The Patriots play a terrific defense, so the windows aren't big. But he doesn't put enough air under the ball to get him into the windows. So he guns everything. He's got a great arm and loves to show it off. And he holds onto the ball too long. So 2 years ago, the year they went to the Super Bowl before he got hurt, I thought he was one of the best quarterbacks in the league. Now, I feel like he's pretty good. So I'd still take him, don't get me wrong. But I feel like he hasn't gotten any better. In fact, I think he's gotten a little worse since his rookie year.
I also think because of his injury history that he's now reluctant to use his mobility like he used to, too. I think he stays in the pocket too much.
He killed him in this game. Killed him. So I don't know, like, what is he? I feel like the arrow's pointed down. I feel like he's not the guy that I felt he was before he got hurt. So that's my overall assessment. But all I can tell you is in this game, oh, he really hurt him. He had some guys. Their second drive, their number 16, I didn't grab the name, had a step and a half on Jason McCourty down the right sidelines.
He threw it out of bounds.
And he threw it into the cheerleaders. And Romo says, oh, it's windy. It's going to be a hard day today. But he had him by a step and a half. And Wentz missed that ball. Then there was, and this is a little unfair, but it was one of those drives after the Pats field goal. He had a third and 17. So it's a really high, low percentage play. But it was there. He went on a little mini roll to his right, and he had number 80 coming across the middle open. He had him, and he missed it. And that would have been a big play if he had been able to pick that up. And it was there. It was there to be had, and he missed the receiver. Then the strip sack at the end of the second quarter was just a killer.
Brutal.
Just a killer. You are still, you know, it's starting to tilt, but you're in command there. If you can get out of there. Just without giving the Patriots the ball back, because the Patriots are going to start with the third quarter with the ball. So if you can just get out of there at 10-6 and go into the tunnel, you sort of feel good about by the second play, you put the ball on the ground. And then when the Eagles got the ball back with just a minute left in the second quarter, they drove into field goal range. They were right there on the green line that CBS puts up there for the field goal, and he took another sack. You can't take those sacks there. You can't. You can't take that sack when you're in field goal range at the end of the second quarter.
He holds on to it too long. He holds on to it too long. Again, he's, you know, turnovers and sacks. It was brutal. That strip sack, to me, he's been around long enough now. What's this, his fourth year in the league?
I don't know exactly.
Well, he's been around long enough to get rid of that ball and not take the losses.
And then he had, on the final drive, he had Ertz on a third and 10. Ertz had beaten Gilmore to the out. Had him clean, beat clean. For a chance for a catch and a run after it for another 10 or whatever yards, and he totally missed him. And those are the ones that I just wrote down. I think he missed some big plays that were right there to be had that he should have had. I thought he, again, to your point, held onto the ball too long, took some killer sacks. I think Wentz in this game really hurt them. Really hurt them. With better quarterback play, you know, that's obviously more of a game there. But either way, I still thought it was a really good win for the Patriots. I thought it was arguably their best win of the year. And the quarterback's not happy. So how do we square those two things? We'll reset those thoughts with your calls after Murray's 90-second update, no commercials.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.